Okay, well, why don't we begin, and would somebody please start us with a prayer?
Lord, we thank you for allowing us to assemble here once again. We ask that as Brad and myself and the rest of the class go through learning your word and just figuring out what you meant and the lessons that you're teaching us, as that we take it with us every day. And I ask that you just be with the speakers today, and that your Holy Spirit will flow, and that we won't say anything that's of us, but everything of you, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Well, we have the two messages, and since you're aiming at about a 30-minute message, that pretty much eats the class. So what I'd like to do after each one of those is the same thing we do Wednesday, though, which is right after each one say, what was that sermon about? You went home and your, I don't know, mom or dad was sick, or somebody was there and couldn't be there, and asked you what it was about. And they said, what if a little child walked in the room and said, well, yeah, what are you talking about? Well, what was it about? How would you describe it to them? So you can have kind of an adult summary in a sentence or so, and a child summary in a sentence or so after each one. We'll talk about those Monday and talk about things for improvement or things you want to maybe figure out a schedule for re-delivery and how much time we have left to do that. I am recording, and that won't go online with the class, but I wanted you to have a record of it. So I haven't talked to Bethany yet about what it'll take to maybe get a file with each of your messages on them if you'd like to listen to them. I find that helpful. I almost always listen to my messages after I give them, but it is more for content than anything else. I feel like recordings do not do justice to situations, particularly video recordings tend to flatten presentations. You don't get any sense of the dynamic that's created, really the magic between, say, an audience or a congregation and a speaker or preacher, depending on what context you're talking about. So, if, for example, public speaking classes, I don't use video for evaluation as a tool. I think people get real neurotic about it. As a matter of fact, they start to notice things that the audience wouldn't notice and get crazy about them, and it actually backfires on them. I think it's very important to develop an objective sense of, well, how well was that received? And how well did it work in the context? And most, like, audio recording or video recording will do that for you. But I listen for content. Did I say something particularly stupid? Did it hold together logically? That's why I listen back through things. And I do pay, of course, a little bit of attention to how could that have been delivered maybe a little bit more strongly. But I always try to think, but this is a recording. How did it go down in that situation? How well was it received? Was I making contact? So anyway, they'll be there for you to listen to if you want to. Monday, I still want to talk a little bit about listening evaluations, and we'll figure out where we go from there. We'll be operating a little bit ad hoc here between now and the end of class, because we'll see how much time we have to work with. And I think we have enough time to, of course, want to keep working with Haddon Robinson's book. Probably won't have any more handouts. I do want to go back into that andragogy stuff. I've got this children's sermon thing working in my mind. It feels like that we should equip ourselves to do that. That it's simply wrong to play the role of a preacher only to adults, that you're a preacher to a congregation full of families. And even if you don't give specifically children's sermons, in some cases children are present. They're not always ushered out of the room. In any event, your chances of knowing how to communicate across that age divide should equip ourselves there. But clearly I'm having trouble squeezing it in, but we'll see if we can. Yeah. So did we say who was going to go first of the two of you? All right, well, that would be fine, and we'll take a break. I think we'll actually take a break and leave the classroom so that whoever gets up second gets a kind of a fresh room to speak to. Where we're at, as I said, when Zach was speaking, assume that your approach to a pulpit might vary church to church. Unless you're a visiting speaker, you'll know what the drill is. But assume you have to get there and start your message fairly formally. So remember everything I've said about pulpit podium approach and giving people a moment to catch up and the simple idea of controlling the space that you're in. We'll go from there. Give me a moment here, Angie. you, I'm ready. So however you picture yourself getting up to the front of the church. Okay.
You can read the clap. I don't know if I would
You wouldn't usually in church, would you?
No, probably wouldn't.
Let's do the exit thanks, Angie, and the
let's do the thing we did before, which is
okay, so you've chatted it up in the lobby, you've driven home, and now someone's asking you, what was Angie was preaching. What did she preach about? See if you can put it in a sentence or two. Now to an adult.
Do I write this too?
No, no. We'll reflect on these together.
I put my tongue on. I was like, oh my gosh. So I didn't even look up. It's like I forgot when I started, and I was like, oh my tongue.
Okay, now remember the child walks in and asks, "What was that about?" And you're trying to summarize it for a kid. I'm thinking 8-9-year-old kid. Sentence?
I'm going to cut you off artificially because remember, if you have a conversation in the kitchen after church, you don't get to say, well, let me think about it here and then get 20 minutes to write down your thoughts. You have to kind of speak off the top of your head. I remember, I don't know if it's an apocryphal story. I think it is kind of a questionable as to whether it happened, but I think it was Karl Barth, the great theologian, who was asked what his theology was, and saying Jesus loves me from like some big academic conference, and not the guy you were expecting to do this. Now whether he sang it or recited it or whether it even happened, I'm not sure, but that's the way it was told to me. It was a good story. If it isn't true, it should be true. And after when all is said and done, his theology came down to that song. Let's take a 5-minute break and
your PowerPoint before you get up here that just right on the fly, or
I don't think. I think it's all done.
We can do that, and then your no show. I didn't say anything about PowerPoint, so I feel like it's up in the air. Some people preach with it. I did show you early on in class some things about use of PowerPoint, desk by PowerPoint, and things like that. I really believe if you use it, make sure it's under your control, and that you're demanding, I mean, I say demanding not like a spoiled child, but demanding in the sense of calling for the attention of the congregation, that you're not a silhouette who's manning, just a technician for going through a PowerPoint. I mean, if you want to do that, that's fine, but I don't think most places that's preaching. I think that there's probably, we live in a technologically sophisticated society, and anymore it doesn't have quite the wow factor, so that actually what people are longing for is more human contact. They can go online anytime they want and find technological products that are slick. There's a time and place for it, but I think preaching probably will remain a human activity, so be sure you're blank when you don't need it, and be sure that if you do go to it, you're calling attention back and the people aren't looking over your shoulder at a screen and tuning you out. Okay, I've got one more, and Brad, whenever you're ready, I guess however you see yourself approaching the pulpit will be appropriate. Brad?
What was the time?
Let's see.
Did 35 minutes.
35, okay. Yeah. Or thereabouts. I was looking at the second hand, so it might be closer to that. We'll do the same thing with a sentence, and then you can maybe, since I think we're over time, what time is it?
Time to go.
It's time to go. Okay, you can do that out of class if you want to. Remember what for Monday what we're up against here. I want to keep plowing ahead with Haddon Robinson. That would be 7. Think about your listening assignments. Hand them in. I don't know how much time we'll have to go over them, and I want to go over each of these messages and see what we're doing. Get those questions written out. You don't have to do it right now since we're over time, but I mean, get it done today so it's you're not losing your memory. But then let's talk about our messages on Monday. I mean, let's try to do that mostly on Monday.
I'll see you then.